listening to the Trust Podcast, a safe space to dialogue around disconnection and reconnections in our present time. Find out more at trustcollaboration.com.
This is a photograph, a black and white photograph, of a young woman in an urban setting. She's standing inside a building and looking out through the windows. There are no other people in the photograph. All you can see are vertical and horizontal lines of buildings and some parasols outside, but the parasols are folded. She's alone.
So welcome everybody to this new episode. This photo connects to the theme of the day. And I will ask to Eva Pomeroy from the Presencing Institute. And she's a lecturer in social innovation at Concordia University, Montreal too. What are the feelings and emotions that this photo provoked to you? First of all, let me introduce a bit more your work. Your work builds on over two decades experience in experiential learning in both formal and informal educational setting. And in essence, your work is about co-creating contexts for transformational learning experiences in the service of positive social impact and innovation. Eva, would you like to start with sharing your feelings that this photo provokes to you, your emotion?
Thank you, Julia, for having me into this conversation today. I really appreciate it. And when I first looked at this photograph, what I was struck by was a sense of quiet. I think that's what struck me more than anything initially. And quiet is something that I would usually appreciate very much. But shortly after connecting with the sense of quiet, I think what was impressed upon me was a sense of loneliness. So I see the figure, I see the glass walls, as the windows as barriers. There are things happening outside, but the figure is so solitary that I was really struck by a visceral sense of loneliness.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you, Eva. And let me introduce also the other dialoguer of the day. The speaker is Patrizia Lombardi, prorector of Politecnico di Torino, coordinator of the Green Team at the same university. And she's also president of the Italian Network of Sustainable University, promoted by CRUI, the Conference of Rector. And she's an internationally recognized figure in the field of sustainable urban development, having also been principal investigator and coordinator of a number of research projects funded by EU and national grants related to sustainable development, smart cities, energy transition, circular economy, and cultural heritage. So welcome, Patrizia, and please share your feelings looking at this photo.
Hi, hello to everyone. Thanks on my side as well, Julia, for giving me the opportunity to share my feeling looking at this photo. The feeling very sad because I see this young lady watching through a mirror and a window that it looks like a prison to my eyes. So I feel very sorry. And in a way, I feel that at the same time, everyone has experienced this kind of feeling, considering the pandemic situation we are living. And therefore, it even worse looking at this picture, because empathically seems that is a real situation and everyday situation right now. It doesn't have anything to do with happiness or with a nice feeling on my side, just a sad.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing so honestly also the sadness. Sometimes we escape from that, but it's good to acknowledge that we feel sad as well. And maybe this is the first step to understand this spiritual disconnection that is the theme of the day. So I will ask you both a central question of to dig into the topic of this episode. So is it this spiritual disconnection coming from something? So how have we given support to this experience of being disconnected from ourselves? And just to break down those questions into three others, I will ask you, what are the consequences of this disruption that is producing this situation? And what is the worst result to expect? If we don't act now, what should we be expecting? And feel free to draw from your experience into higher education institution as well in your roles, but also as your personal storyline. So Eva, I don't know if you want to start answering this question.
Yeah. Well, when I think about first the university and how we structure education, I think there's so much of our emphasis is on the outward experience. And there are very few places within curriculum or even the way we think about the purpose of education and higher education in particular for the inner experience. And so what we lack is something that's built into the system to help people, to support them and to structure an exploration of their inner experience, which would include connecting to purpose, connecting to meaning. I think we do better around connecting to beauty. So I think in this, you're getting a sense for me about the spiritual connection being about purpose, meaning, beauty, connection to something bigger than yourself. So because the attention within the curriculum, certainly the curriculum that I'm familiar with across many disciplines, is to draw us into our minds and to draw our attention outward from ourselves. Not that those are bad things, but there's such a weight put on that kind of learning and that kind of knowing. It disconnects from that more inner, intuitive, even aesthetic knowing. And I think one of the things that I've been very struck by recently are the number of students who will openly talk about depression, anxiety, and that started to happen before the pandemic. So it isn't directly in response to the pandemic, although a lot of the evidence coming out is that it's worsening in this situation. And I see that, and that directionality as being a direct impact of the disconnect between outer and inner. And it's difficult to find the meaning in the learning and to find one's place in the world when the emphasis is so exclusively or excluding of that inner experience and connection with self. I think there are, in terms of what happens if we don't address this, I think there are pockets in the university that are very innovative, where people are having, young people are having very meaningful experiences, but they're pockets. Systemically, I think what we are producing are, a large number of young people who are feeling depressed, despondent, disconnected, and not feeling their capacity to bring what they have to offer to the world into it and to have agency, to have an effect. And I would put all of those things into a broader sort of definition, a broader way of thinking about spirituality. And that is a trajectory that I think if we don't address on a systemic level, will lead to a generation of young adults who are not able to have the impact that they want to in the world and who experience moderate to extreme emotional challenge and difficulty. So that would be my first sort of thought about that.
Thank you. Thank you, Eva. Also, you highlighted an important absent in our current curricula, that is using hands and hearts apart from our mind and brain. So maybe starting from acknowledging this absence, maybe we can then start to find a motivation to get actively involved in renewing our current way to do things. Patrizia, may I ask you if you resonated with some words that Eva told us about purpose, about reconnecting with ourselves?
Thank you. Thanks, Giulia, and thanks, Eva. Well, I think the three disconnections, spiritual, social, ecological, are interconnected, unfortunately. We know that we are living in a living world that has, in a way, stopped being in harmony with the with all the ecosystem and with the well, with in a equilibrium among the different parties. I think that we are inside a growing quantitative model of consumption market-based, which help the individualization of people. And I believe that we need to reconfigure this situation and to start rethinking as individual and as institution the way we are doing. I believe and I agree that education play a big role, and so we have a responsibility that is much bigger than others, I feel it at least. And this, from an educational viewpoint, I believe that we need to help our faculties as well as our students to think in a systemic way rather than in silos, and try to help considering in our thinking all the impact and consequences of our actions. So I believe as well that is crucial that we find new approaches as well that helps people and all individuals to be able to think in the right way. And the right way is to considering the whole picture, because what we have done to the environment during all the decades since the Industrial Revolution is something that is very heavy to, from an ethical viewpoint, to be considered, and that we are giving to the future generation this big debt, this big heavy things that they have to carry on. So I really believe that we need to better educate people to be global citizen more than in front of everything, and that we put in the right order all the aspects which are interrelated one into the other, and stop thinking to this consumption market-driven approach. That's my point.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for highlighting also the connection between this disconnection, the spiritual, the ecological, and the social. Before giving the words to the students who are joining us today, I would like to ask both of you, What was your motivation then to react to those awareness about this divide? For instance, Eva, you experienced something related to organizational change and the theory you apply to higher education and social impact. What was your motivation to get actively involved in this innovation in the education world? And what we can do to impulse to get engaged in our own academic bubbles to be more systemic in our effect.
Sure. So yes, I came into this through my work with Theory U, which when I found it, for me, it was a framework for learning that really integrated the sort of systemic awareness that Patrizia was just talking about, the interconnection that I was talking about a little earlier with action in the world. And so I thought putting those different ways of seeing the world and understanding it and knowing it and sourcing action from that connection outward, right, with a broader perspective and greater awareness of our context, both our ecological and our social context, and a connection inward with our own sense of purpose, and then using that as a foundation for stepping into action was an incredibly powerful framework or model for learning. So I started to work with that. One of the other things that using that model allowed me to do was to create an innovation lab at the university, which where we were able to invite community members in as well. And so the very structure of the lab itself sort of modeled that idea of coming from a much broader perspective and a more systemic awareness, because the members of the community coming in brought their context. They mixed with undergraduate and graduate students and faculty. And so as a collective, learning together, if you like, it's almost like we had the ecosystem in the room in some ways, by virtue of who was there. And then the other thing was that we were then learning in community, which was a very practical, experiential way to shift from that individual focus and that sort of individual learning and achievement focus, because the learning was so relational and happened in a collective. And one of my students said, you know, it's interesting, we will go out in the world and we will embody the structures that we learned here. So if you experience your education as, you know, linear, mostly cognitive and individual focused, that's what you bring into the world. And she said, what I've experienced here is what it means to be a learning community. And that's what I'd like to bring out into the world. So those are some of the ways that I worked with that particular framework in trying to address some of these divides at the university.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Eva. And maybe I can ask Patrizia the same question, because she was also actively involved in creating actually the first Italian University Alliance for Sustainability, the RUS. And how can we connect and impulse and get engaged with the learning community of the overall Politecnico and in general the Italian university that subscribe this commitment to be more sustainable?
Yes, when it was 2013 when we started this this network idea, we were very few universities sharing good practice among each other, thinking that cooperation is much better than competition in this field. And it was a winning idea. In fact, now we were 7, now we are 78 universities sharing the same idea that is crucial nowadays to put together our forces, our competencies, our commitment for fasting, for making urgent action in the field of sustainable development. We are not sustainable universities. We are university for sustainable development, which is very different And therefore, and this idea is also very is evident in the fact that we are progressing well since we started with very few universities that having inside an office that deals with sustainable development issues, and now almost all university, not everyone, but most of them, I mean, it triplicated since just 3 years ago. So I expected that by next year, we will have completed commitment. It's important to have an office because the office helps management inside the university. And so it's not just a single person inside, but an office is able to provide the appropriate management, which is crucial. And now we have contact and we have opportunity to be advisor to all the areas and missions of university, including education. And in the education, we are putting effort because it's really crucial that all our faculty members, as well as students, have this awareness on the trajectory that we like we will take together as humanities.
So I may take from both answers the need of feeling engaged in a community. I mean, the spiritual divide will be firstly healed somehow if we are not alone in this effort. And this led me to a final curiosity before giving the words to Ramiro, Angeli, and Sharon that are here with us, the two students from Politecnico di Torino. Just a final question. What was your motivation to innovate? You are two pioneers now in your own fields related to higher education and sustainability. What was the driver that put you in march with this effort?
I could probably answer that quite quickly. My motivation was actually more inner than outer in this case, in that I personally wanted to bring more of my whole self into the work and into the teaching. And this was a way that I saw I was able to do that, to address my own inner condition, as well as sensing into the outer world, and to do that in community. So I guess I created the community I ultimately wanted to be a part of.
Thank you. And that is really connected with your impact. Now you are really find out with others the purpose of each of us. So we can be happier if we feel ourselves in the place we work and we live. And Patrizia, can I ask you the same? What was your driver for starting these new adventures?
But there was a disconnection in a way between what I was studying and researching when I was even a student, and it was also from my PhD focusing on sustainable development and all these issues. And the other side, I was, in the environment where I was living and studying and teaching, there was completely disconnection. So I thought that something would have been necessary. And therefore I put effort in that. I asked the question why I am acting in a way and thinking in another. I want to make the two together, and this is the starting.
Interesting, because aligning what we say, what we think, and what we do is really the secret to be happy again and to reconnect this spiritual divide. May I ask Ramiro to jump in the conversation and feel free to ask our guest speakers a question related to what you just heard from your student's perspective or personal perspective.
Yes. Hello to everyone. It's a pleasure to participate in this podcast with you. What has been said before makes me see that we're living in a very fast-paced world now, in which we don't have time to look at ourselves or at our surroundings, our environment. And for this reason is that there are two concepts that came out from my mind. And one is being as a human being, and the other one is having as a person, you know, in the material sense. So what do you think that, do you think that it's difficult for people today to get out of this vicious circle, or say that in a way in which you prioritize your work, the material quantities, you know, this concept of having instead of being as a person, I mean, living, you know, get connected with this environment and what we are talking about.
Thank you, Ramiro. Patrizia or Eva, feel free to jump and answer.
I'm happy to jump in. And I guess I would say it may be that students who come into the, you know, my teaching world are predisposed in this way, but I have to say that it doesn't feel like it's been very hard work to move people into a being state. And sometimes it just takes some permission and a bit of structure and an invitation to do so. And then what I've experienced is that there's such joy in connecting with yourself and gaining a sense of, you know, having something that you are meant to do in this world. There's something so deeply satisfying about that, that when the space is made for it, the space and the invitation, that it's very easy actually to make that shift. So that's what I've experienced.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I don't know if Patrizia want to add some comments.
Yes, thank you. Just mentioned that the process require really some effort from collective effort, and I think that in our university we have tried to make this effort available in two ways. One is creating this green theme office is a way to mobilizing ideas and sense of communities. At the same time, is a way for making everything more aware and people aware of the consequences of their actions, and at the same time highlight all possible way for moving into a more coherent development model. On the other side, we have also put effort in the in creating a teaching lab that help our faculty communities revise their educational approaches, because I think it's quite crucial to make this happen in order to better answer to this kind of challenge.
So I was thinking that in the past, comparing the past and the present, we have these differences based on the technology. So by comparing the ancient time, we have the less percentage of spiritual disconnection comparing now. So do we think that we have the technology could have some part for this spiritual disconnection? Because now we are taking the future towards, maybe we can say the technology, we are repairing these things. So maybe my thing is like, does the technology also had a part of playing this spiritual disconnection?
So there are two things. I go in two directions with this. So one, in terms of our connection to each other and to that bigger systemic, so certainly I am more connected to people around the world than I've ever been. So that sense of really not being alone and being a global community, I sense very, very strongly. And so that's the, yes, it has a role in healing. The piece where it doesn't is where we're glued to this little box. So there's something about really needing to make a much greater effort, even with my children, to say, go outside. Yeah. Like, just go breathe that fresh air, you know, be in the natural world. And that's where, that's where we have to work harder, I think, to have a balance.
I believe as well that digitalization helps in one, if you are able, if you are educated to use it. Otherwise, it became really a tool for making even worse the disruption. Since the individual, especially the youngest, are sometimes victim for this kind of a use of the ICT that is not appropriate. I really think that is something that requires a lot of ethical aspect, a lot of ethical support and education. Education is the key. The fact that we need to use education in as a tool for making this connection, I really believe in that. So I think that this is why responsibility that we feel as educator is very high, and as mother and as educator for other people. So I really share this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm happy because we started the conversation feeling and sharing our sadness related to the photo and the present situation, but we also shared the opportunities to be joyful in rediscovering ourselves and aligning our spirituality with what we do every day and what we say every day. But anyway, both happiness and sadness are part of life, and this is part of the game, no? Being alive and feeling one day sad, one day happy, but feeling maybe grateful to be still feeling. No, maybe this may open the floor to Valerie that can guide us to a final meditation to feel present and metabolize what we just heard from the wonderful speaker of today that I thank once again.
Yes, thank you very much. It was very inspiring, especially also your personal experience. And I wish to guide you through a mindful experience, a mindful practice, as you were saying, to connect to ourselves, to start with each of us. And I invite you just to sit comfortably upright in the chair where you're sitting, and put your feet on the ground. And let's just use what mindfulness is putting attention to our body and to the sensation of each of us for a moment. So when you have your feet on the ground, just be curious how the ground feels. Allow yourself to drop the efforts of talking, of listening, maybe of excitement or sadness. And just feel a moment the legs, the arms, the shoulders, and even your face. And sense with all the senses we have and the connections in the articulations and our skin, how it feels being sitting on this chair with curiosity. And you may even feel the curiosity of your breath, the way the air enters and the way the air exits. With all the words we've been talking about, the subject, the excitement, the sadness, the joy, everything bringing alignment in the body. And for sure, your mind would like to chatter or think or say something, but bring up the courage to fully be present now with your breathing and with your body sitting on the chair. And I invite you now to put the hand on your chest, on the heart area, and sense also all this area with friendliness of your heartbeat, and coming for a moment just to yourself, just being aware of yourself sitting with your feet on the floor, on the ground, with your breathing, with your awareness, just with you. And we will connect to this inner experience you were talking about, the experience of yourself, of this moment, sharing the space with the others, but for the moment, your attention is on yourself. And let's move to being grateful for having this breathing, for, you know, you just breathe in fresh air and just be grateful. You have fresh air to breathe in and you can let go effort. You just allow yourself to breathe in and let go all the effort while you breathe out. And in this learning and growing you were talking about, we can be just grateful for our legs that are holding us while we sit, or they hold us while we move to what we want, move to other people, move to the community. And we can be grateful for our arms embracing, our hands being on the chest, bringing the warmth, the joy, and bringing our wishes into action. We can be grateful for our eyes looking outside, finding these other peoples we need to put into action our wishes and the wishes of the community, and being able to let go all the effort and looking around with fresh eyes. And from this sensation that you have from yourself, feeling yourself, your body, and the ground, we can just get to a bigger experience of the space we were sharing until now and we're sharing now, to connect to something bigger with this gratefulness in the heart area and the body, and being able to calm the mind. And with this joy being alive with fresh air, looking around and being connected, I invite you now to let go your arm and your hand from the chest area and be able to connect to the others of our shared space, space of the Trust Podcast, with the inspirations, the ideas, the learning and growing, and the sensation that we are not alone on this path. And while you let go all this mindful practice, you can come back to the sensation of the room, of the feet. And I invite now each of you to sum up the podcast dialogue in 3 words. So we might start with Ramiro.
It would be slow down and consciousness and some introspection in ourselves.
Thank you very much. Patricia, would you like to give us your 3 words with which you sum up the dialogue of today?
Well, I will say integration, awareness, and education.
Great, thank you very much. Eva, what would be your 3 words?
And my 3 words are more what I'm taking with me, and it's connection, inspiration, and gratitude.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Really, from my heart, thank you for your time and your deep connection among us today.